Isaiah chapter number 1. Oh, it is good to be here, though. Appreciate Brother Gary allowing us to come up once again. It's a blessing when you get invited to go somewhere, preach or sing. And it's a real blessing when you get invited back. It means you didn't blow it too bad the last time you was there. So when you're as when you do as many dumb things as I'm prone to do, you know, it's just a blessing when somebody lets you come back. So, but it is good to be here. You see some snow and ice and things we just don't see where I live. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you this morning that you saved us. And Lord, thank you for the privilege that it is to serve you. God, I pray that you'd touch us this morning. Lord, strengthen us. And Lord, just help us to be a blessing in everything we say and everything we do today. Lord, we sure need you. We're a needy people, God. And just pray that you'd meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at Isaiah, look at verse number 1, chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know my people, doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it. I'm going to stop reading right there. He's talking about the children of Judah here and how corrupt they've become and sinful and they've gotten away from God. And as we read down through there, I mean, it really looks like a picture of America. Amen. Now, I'm proud to be an American. I love pledging allegiance to our flag. I love, amen. I'm going to pray for our new president, whether I agree with him or not. I'm going to pray for him. And if you find a better land, then go there. And tell me if it really is better, I'll go with you. But as of this time right now, you ain't going to find a better land than America. It's still the greatest nation. They don't say amen too loud right there. But it is. It is. But it's got some problems. Brother George was talking to me a while ago. He said, boy, our country's changed quite a bit since you were here last. I said, yes, it has. And as we read through these verses, amen, it seems like that's where we're at in our land. But the Lord makes a statement, or Isaiah writing here in verse number 6, he says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. No soundness. When I think of the word sound this morning, I think of, you know, what we hear, an audible voice, the sound of a piano, the sound of a voice, the sound of a child making a cry, you know. That's what I think of when I first think of the word sound. But then there's also, we use words like, what's some sound advice right there? That sounds like pretty sound counsel. So I got out my dictionary and I figured, Brother Gary, honestly, I figured the first definition would be what we hear as far as sound, what our ears hear. Really, the very first definition of sound in your Webster's dictionary is entire, unbroken, correct, firm, strong, valid, solid, founded in truth. That's a pretty good definition. Yeah. But the sad thing is, that's a good definition, but in verse number 6, it says that this group of people had no soundness amongst them, no soundness in them. So obviously, we need to have the right kind of sound. Now, we talk about, you know, listening to the right kind of music and things like that, and we should, no doubt. But we need the right kind of soundness in our life as far as this being founded in truth. Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church. You got on to me last year. I didn't put the Bible in there. Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church is solid, founded in truth. Amen. You could even call your church Sound Baptist Church, and people would go, what in the world is Sound Baptist Church? Founded in truth, having something that is true. Hey, we need more sound in our churches. And I'm not talking about this, although Brother Barry, you can crank it up. Brother Barry ain't here yet. Whoever's running the sound can crank it up as loud as they want. I like a lot of sound, but what I'm talking about, a different kind of sound, this correct, firm, founded in truth sound. We need some more of that in our churches. Amen, because our churches are in a mess. We need some more of that in our homes, because our homes are falling apart, because there's very little truth. We're so manipulated by what we see on television, whether it's through a Hollywood production or whether it's through the news media. We just see all this stuff and we swallow it. And there's very little truth in our land, and sadly it ain't much different in our churches. Very little truth. Let me give you just a few things about sound. Number one, we need sound wisdom. Sound wisdom. Look over in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. Now keep your Bible handy this morning for the next few minutes. I mean, it's Sunday school, so we're going to go through the Bible. And before we're done at 10:15, we may have been in every book of the Bible. I don't know, but keep your Bible handy. Be ready to turn. Don't take my word for this stuff. Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse number 14. Verse number 14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. He said, the Lord says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. We need to have sound wisdom. Yeah. And we got a lot of people running up and down the road and at our universities, at our colleges, that have a lot of knowledge. But there is a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge without wisdom is a dangerous thing. And the schools have proved that in the fact that they teach so many things like evolution and that man came from a monkey and that the earth came from a big bang. That's just an example of, really, I mean, that's not, we come from a monkey. That ain't even knowledge. That's ridiculous. My little six-year-old knows better than that, amen? We know that God did create the heavens and the earth, amen? But there is a such thing as having a lot of knowledge without any wisdom. You can even have a lot of Bible knowledge and not have any wisdom. As a matter of fact, me and the preacher last night were talking about young men that we've known that seem like God could do something great with them, but they go off to Bible college, they learn the Bible, they learn the book, but they have no wisdom to go along with their knowledge. We need to have sound wisdom. Yeah. Amen. But see, we put our kids in front of the TV and say, now watch cartoons while we do whatever we're going to be doing. You watch these cartoons or you play your video games. And I'm not up here to preach against TV. We got a TV. We've got some video games. But I'm saying we just put our kids in front of these things all day long and then we expect them one day just to become wise. It ain't going to happen, friend. It ain't going to happen that way. I'm not saying there ain't a place for some entertainment in your life, some amusements in your life, but we spend a whole lot of time amusing and very little time musing. Yeah. The word muse means to think, to dwell on. The word amuse means not to think, not to dwell on anything. Now, I like amusement pretty good, you know. I can go to an amusement park, ride a roller coaster, have a good time. Woohoo, it's all fun. I'm for it. But if you spend your whole life doing that, you're not going to have very much wisdom. And we need sound wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Have you noticed we're raising a generation of kids that are so miserable? They've got more. Are you listening to me this morning? They've got more than some of us ever dreamed of having. Now, I had it pretty good growing up. I don't know that you'd say, I mean, I didn't go to Walmart every time and get a toy or get what I wanted, but come Christmas time and birthdays, I got pretty much whatever I asked for. But we're raising a generation of kids that got everything they've ever wanted and they're still not happy. They're miserable. They're not happy. You know why? We're not teaching them to really learn and grow and grow in the Lord, grow to love God. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You show me somebody that ain't happy, I'll show you somebody that ain't seeking after wisdom. And wisdom isn't just something that's dropped in your lap either. It's something you pray for. You go after it. Brother, I appreciate that. Let me say this. We need wisdom in our counsel, where we get our counsel from. Where we get our counsel from. The Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And that's where we're running to get our counsel. That's where the church, that's where Christian people are running to. They're running to the world to get their counsel, and the Bible says it's foolishness. Yeah. Right. We'll sit at home and we'll watch Oprah Winfrey on TV. I hope you don't. But some of you do. Our churches are full of people that do. and they think what she is saying is just right. Well, you know, she gives so much to charities, and she gives away cars on her TV show. Don't be fooled. In a month, she can gain back the money. If that long, the money that she gave out to all them charities and all that stuff. And I'm glad she does all these good things, but that don't make her right in what she says. That don't make her show right just because she does some good things. I mean, you do remember she was the one here just within the last year or two on one of her shows. They got in a big debate on how you get to heaven. And a lady stood up in the audience and said, "It's by Jesus." And she said, "Oprah says, no, you're trying to tell me there's only one way to heaven?" "Yes, it's through Jesus." She said, no, there's many paths. Many paths. And one person may say that their path leads them to God, but another person may say their path leads them to the light. But we're all on the same path, and it'll all get us to our eternal destination. Well, she's right about that. It'll get you to eternal destination, but without Jesus Christ, it'll be hell. Now, that's the kind of stuff Oprah's promoting. New Age, all this New Age stuff, the New Age movement. That's what Oprah's pushing. That's not good counsel. And I say that because so many Christians sit at home every afternoon and watch Oprah and just suck all that in and like, "Oh, but she's such a good person." I got news for you. She ain't. She's a false prophet. Prophetess. Amen. That's not where you need to be getting your counsel from. Disney ain't where you need to get your counsel from. Amen. Some of you moms and dads raising up little kids just because something says Disney on it, that don't mean it's wholesome. Hey, and my kids got all the little Disney movies and all that. I'm not going Southern Baptist here and boycotting Disney, okay? They done tried that and it didn't work. But just because it's like this. I don't have to eat everything you put on my plate. And just because Disney comes out and says Disney on the label don't mean, oh, it's all of a sudden okay. See, Disney's philosophy is, if it feels good, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. How many times have we heard young people say, "Brother Gary, but it just feels right in my heart"? You know what the Bible says about your heart? It's deceitful above all things and desperately, desperately, desperately wicked. That's your heart and that's my heart. I don't think we need to be following after our heart. I think people following after their heart has led into a lot of marriages that weren't of God. And later, within a year or two, leads to a divorce. I think a lot of young ladies following their heart has got them in the back seat of a car with a boy that they weren't married to and landed them in a mess. It just felt right in my heart. That's bad counsel. And that's what a lot of these little romantic cartoons and these little kids' sitcoms are producing. That's what they're pushing. I know this morning I sound like I'm just saying we ought to get rid of our TVs. It probably wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt any of us. And you know, like I said, I've got one. Our kids like cartoons. We like to let them enjoy some things like that. But you better know what they're watching. You better know what that stuff is pushing. Otherwise, your kid's going to be running around the house and you're saying things and doing things. And you're going to be, "Where'd he learn that?" From some wrong counsel. So there's such thing as bad counsel. But Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." And Brother Gary just said it right. Our first source of counsel is the Word of God. You want to get some good counsel? Get in your Bible. Amen. Yep. Amen. Get in the Word of God. Amen. Don't just come into this church and say, "Well, I go to a King James Bible believing Baptist church. Woohoo for the King James Bible." And thank God for the King James Bible. Thank God for a church that stands for the King James Bible. But how about going home and reading your King James Bible? How about going home and each morning or each evening, sometime in your day, getting this blessed book out, amen, and reading it and studying, seeing what it has to say. I'm talking about some good counsel this morning. It's the Word of God. Well, I ain't got time for it. You got time to watch Oprah. It'd do you real good to shut that off and use that time to get in the Word of God. Good counsel. Where no counsel is, the people fall. Your preacher will give you some good counsel. Now, I'm sure he would tell you the same thing. It may not always be exactly right, but he'll give you better counsel than you'll get from the people that you work with that don't even go to church. Hey, boys, I'm having a problem in my marriage. What do you think? Well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd send her on down the road. I'd put her out of the house. I'd divorce her in a heart. Oh, that's real good counsel. Asking a guy that's been divorced 3 or 4 times, what do you think? Well, I'll tell you what I'd do and have done. Just go to your preacher and say, "Preacher, we're having some problems. Can you help us?" And you know what he'll say? "I'll try. I'll sure try my best." But see, the truth of the matter is, we don't want to hear what the preacher has to say. We already know what he's going to say, and that's what we don't like. "Preacher, I've got this going on in my life. What do you think? Preacher, I'm seeing this guy or I'm seeing this girl, and they're not saved, and I just want them. What do you think?" And you know what he's going to say? "Stay away from them. They ain't saved. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." But that ain't what you want to hear, so that's why you don't go to them. You're going to go to your friends that are doing the same things you're doing, and adults are the same way. It's not just young people. We go to where we want to... Let me start that over. We go to the person that we know is going to tell us exactly what we want to hear. And we need to use some wisdom in where we're getting our counsel from. Hey, you young people, it'd be a good idea if you got a mom and dad that's serving God. It'd be a good idea to go to them for some counsel. We need sound wisdom in raising our children. Amen. Because we're raising a generation of children that are a mess. I mean, it's scary. We put our son last year, he started kindergarten last year. We put him in our Christian school where we go to church. And as far as I'm concerned, we've got a great Christian school. I'm for it. But it blew my mind some of the things that he came home saying, things that he was learning from the other kids at the Christian school, people we go to church with. This year we're homeschooling them so they can travel with me more. I wish they could be with me this week, but I wasn't about to drive up here in the snow and ice. So I'm catching a plane, hallelujah. But they do travel with me more. And I like that, but we're homeschooling them. But like I said, we got a good school. I'm not knocking our school. I'm not even knocking Christian school. But I'm just saying, amen, we're raising some children that are a mess. And I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof. Brother Eric, what'd you do with your rod? You had a rod up here a while ago. Surely you don't use that on your kids. But... just Louie. He probably needs it. Wait, it says it's supposed to give wisdom, though. Is it working yet, sister? I mean, is it knocking any sense into it? The rod and reproof give wisdom. And now the Bible said, we said earlier, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The Bible said the rod and reproof give wisdom. Maybe that's another reason we're raising a generation of kids that everything is like this, and, you know, we like went over here and like this, and, you know, it was so totally... We're raising a generation of ditzy kids. Now, I don't claim to be overly smart. I know that. I'm a dumb hick half the time. I realize that. But my mom and dad at least had enough sense to try to teach me, amen, to act like a man, talk like a man, or like the old rock song said, walk like a man, amen, all this stuff, but to act like I had some sense. I don't have a lot, but what I have, I try to use. And I guarantee you one thing that helped me was when they would wear my bottom out when I didn't act right. But we're so scared, amen. Are you listening to me this morning? We're so scared to discipline a child. We're so scared. Well, you know, what are the other mothers going to think if they see me spank my child? Well, first of all, you better be careful where you spank them. I mean, we do live in a... Brother George, we are in some different days. You do have to be careful. You know, we don't spank at our Christian school. Say, are you not for it? Yeah, we're for it, but there's been so many lawsuits going around in Christian schools and different things. The smart thing is, just don't. If you can't control them, just kick them out of the school.
That's it.
Yeah. But now when you're behind your closed doors and your kids are acting up, it'd be a good idea, amen, wear their bottom out. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about going overboard. I'm just talking about that's what that bottom's there for. Amen. Wear it out. They need it. And one day when they grow up and they're serving God and doing right and have a healthy fear of God, not always going to strike with lightning, but just, you know, a healthy fear, just like of mom and dad. I want my kids to fear me in a sense that if I do wrong, there's going to be punishment for it. It'll still work. It's Bible. It ain't just Brother Daniel up here ranting and raving. It's Bible. It says, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse number 17 said, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. How many people do you see when you go to the supermarket? come on. No, I don't want to. You cover. And it's like the kid's winning. But I want it, Mommy. I want it. No, you can't. But I want it. And then the parents are going nuts. Their hair's going gray. And the kids are only 2 and 3 years old so far. They ain't even got to the teenage years. Said, correct thy son and he'll give you rest. Sound wisdom. But we'd rather get Dr. Spock's book out and see how he would handle it. Let me say number two, we need sound wisdom, but we need a sound mind. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Oh, kids love it when you preach on stuff like that. It's like, great, now we're going to get spankings. Man, I got spankings from everything, from a paddle to a switch to a belt. Maybe a crowbar time or two. I don't know. And you know what? I love my mom and dad. I don't resent them for that. I love them. And if you do it right and do it according to the Bible, they'll love you. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We need to have a sound mind. Now, if we're going to have a sound mind, we're going to have a clean mind. Romans 8, 6, and 7 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For to be carnally minded is death. We need to have a clean mind. That means what we're putting into our mind needs to be clean. And that will mean, are you listening? That will mean when you got a TV, there's some things you're just going to have to change the channel on. And I'll go ahead and just tell you straight up, if you got HBO and some of that stuff, you're just asking for trouble. You're asking for it. Because there ain't hardly anything on that stuff that's clean. What we need to be putting into our minds need to be clean. If you got a problem with cussing, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, Brother Daniel, I want you to pray for me. I cuss a lot and I'm trying to get victory over my cussing. I said, where do you pick up all them cuss words? He says, I just hear it all the time on TV. I said, well, shut your TV off. Amen. Because what you put in your mind is going to come out. It's going to come out at some point or another, no matter how hard you may try to hide it. We need to have a clean mind. If you're drinking liquor, it's going to mess up your mind. Not only will it hurt your body, it's messing your mind up to where you can't think straight. You're putting drugs in your body, you're hurting your mind. You're not going to have a clean mind. Not only will everything around you be cloudy, but your head will be cloudy too. Amen. We need a clean mind. Men, if you're looking at pornography, you're not going to have a clean mind. And that's what's eating us up. That's what's eating our lunch in the average church. It's pornography. It's not alcohol. Oh, you may get somebody in every once in a while that likes to drink a little liquor, drink a little beer every now and then. Hey, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It don't matter. It's still wrong on Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, man.
Amen.
And it's still right to come to church on Super Bowl Sunday. Hey, man. I don't even know who's playing this year. Don't want to know. Because I'm going to come to church and have a good time.
Yeah.
It's not drugs that's just killing us in our churches. I'm not saying somebody might not slip in that's doing some drugs back behind the scenes. What's killing us in our churches is pornography and adultery. I'm talking about independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist churches. I'm not talking about the liberals down the road. I'm talking in our circles, in our churches, pornography is killing us. A man used to have to embarrass himself back in the day. He at least had to go stand in front of a store clerk and say, give me that one. But nowadays, in the privacy of your own home, you can sit down and access just about whatever you want. And you're a fool if you're doing it. As a matter of fact, you're foolish if you got your computer in a place where not everybody in the household can see it. And if you're letting your kids have their own computer with internet access in their room, you're asking for trouble. You say, well, I trust my kids. Why? Say, you don't trust your kids? No, I don't trust me. Why would I trust my kids when I don't trust me? I don't trust their flesh. I love them, and I hope they'll, Brother Gary, grow up and have a love for God and want to do right. But I've seen some kids that I feel like genuinely did love God, but just left to themselves in a room. The temptation was stronger than their love for God. It'll mess your mind up. Hey, it'll turn you into a pervert. We've seen it happen. I'm talking about good people and good churches. I can tell you about a man, I got to move on, but I can tell you about a man right now that had a great family in church. They seem like the ideal family, and that man is behind bars this morning because he got hooked on pornography, started messing with his kids, and now he's in jail, and the rest of his family is a wreck too. And don't you sit there and think, I'm okay, I got it under control. Just a little picture here or there. Just something every now and then. I've got it under control. You're next. You just keep telling yourself you got it under control, and the devil's the one, he's marking you. He's saying, that's my next target right there. I got him right where I want him. We better have a clean mind, but then let me say also about this sound mind, we need to have a constructive mind. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Nehemiah, as they're rebuilding the wall, he said in chapter 4 and verse 6 that the people had a mind to work. He said, Nehemiah, how are you getting this job done so well? He said, the people got a mind to work. They've got their minds setting on getting the job done. We need a constructive mind. Do you realize if we have a constructive mind, we'll have a less of a problem keeping a clean mind? See, we've got too much idle time. That's our problem. We've got too much time to sit and watch TV. We make too much time to sit and play video games. We just make too much time for amusements. Like I said, I'm for a little entertainment now and then. I'm for amusement every now and then. Nothing wrong with that. I like sports. I like my kids to play baseball. Spring's coming up. When we're home, we're not home a lot, but when we are home, they'll be out there playing Little League. Not on church night, but on any other night, they play baseball. I'm for it. I'm for those things. But really, I mean, I'm talking about a constructive mind, having a mindset to work, but we're raising such a lazy generation. We're raising a generation of young people that do not want to work. You go into McDonald's, you can go in one week and go in the next week, and it's going to be a total change of people working there. Well, it's just McDonald's. They're paying you to do a job. I know we give young people a hard time. I know you're going to grow up and get you a job at McDonald's. Well, hey, if that's where you're going to get a job, then do your best at McDonald's. Maybe if you do your best there, the Lord will give you an opportunity to go work somewhere better and make a little bit more money. But we don't have a constructive mind. We're raising a generation of young people that don't have a constructive mind. We're raising a generation of young people that are 30 or 35 years old now and they still want to sit and play video games all day long. And our homes are falling apart. Marriages are falling apart. Churches are falling apart all around us. It's because we got too much idle time. We need to have a constructive mind, a mindset to work. So sound wisdom, sound mind. Let me say we need some sound doctrine. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We need some sound doctrine back in our churches. The preacher mentioned it last night when we were talking. Apostasy is killing us. And the average Christian just sits and swallows it up. If it's packaged in a nice, pretty package, they like it. They think it's from God. You turn on the TV and you see these big, huge auditoriums, beautiful buildings. You see these preachers in their slick suits, shoes without a scratch, wearing a little makeup. I may wear some makeup this week, I don't know. Y'all got bright lights, I might need it. Look pretty on me. But I'm serious. Some of these goobers wear makeup. And because it's packaged so pretty, we just swallow it. And God ain't pleased with any of it. We need some sound doctrine in our churches. You find these churches and Christians that are involved with the ecumenical movement, and they say, let's all get together and have a meeting this week. Let's just put all our differences aside and just come together. When they say differences, they mean doctrine.
Yes.
Let's put all our Bible doctrine aside and just come together for God. And God's looking at down at it going, puke. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We are there. People don't have a problem. There are churches all over America that are full this morning. They won't be tonight because half of them don't have Sunday night service with or without the Super Bowl. But even a lot of your good Baptist churches, they'll shut their doors tonight for the Super Bowl. Now, people don't have a problem going to church as long as you don't preach to them, as long as you don't teach them the Word of God. As long as you'll just come in and make them feel good, just talk about the love of God, and hey, I love to hear about the love of God just as much as the next guy, but they come in, as long as you just tell them that God is love and God loves them and you're doing all right, come back next week, they don't mind that. But you start getting in the Word of God, start pulling some meat out of here, amen, all of a sudden they're like, yeah, I don't like that. You start talking a little bit about sin. You talk about, hey, keeping that clean mind or spanking your children because they're little brats and they're terrors. There's a reason nobody wants to hang around you or come to your house. They don't like that. I don't like that. My flesh hates it just as much as the next guy. But it's what I need. It is what's right for my life. And sound doctrine is what we need in our churches. We're there. We don't like to endure sound doctrine. We need to be committed. 1 Timothy 6:20, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Be committed to sound doctrine. Stand for what's right. Well, you know, we like Brother Gary and everything all right, but you know, he's always talking about this stuff we got to be committed to. He's always talking about doctrine, always talking about standing for the faith, and that's what you need. That's what we need. Well, he's just a little bit too militant. Praise God. Because there's plenty of churches up and down the road that have a little limp-wristed preacher that wouldn't preach against a snake if it was wrapped around his neck, wouldn't preach against a lion if he was in his living room. They don't want to preach against nothing because they want to make everybody happy. Amen. Make all the deacons happy. Make the deacons' wives happy so you can have your nice little house and your fancy little sports car to drive up and down the road and say, I'm the man of God. It's where we're at in America, apostasy. A bunch of people that have sold out for a paycheck and a big crowd and popularity. And they're not committed to sound doctrine. And we need to contend for it. Jude 3 said, earnestly contend for the faith. You say, Brother Daniel, what are you doing this morning? I'm contending. I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I'm contending. I'm standing for what I believe in. How about you? You going to stand for what you believe in? Oh, it's one thing to come in to a church that stands for the truth, but how about going out there and standing for it? How about going up there and saying, I'm not ashamed. ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to proclaim that I am a Bible-believing Christian. Amen. I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me. Are you just within these walls? It's easy to do in here. How about out there? I remember my preacher, just the other night, he was preaching and he said he was out preaching a meeting somewhere in Georgia and his wife had gone into Walmart or something and there was a big group of kids just standing around. And he said he felt something within him saying, get out and street preach. He said he just stops and, nah, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Not by myself. And he said, not by myself. Lord, surely you don't want me to get out by myself. I mean, street preaching is something you do with a big group of people so you can all feel tough together. He said, once again, get out there and preach to them. He said, the next thing I knew, I was out there with my Bible just preaching by myself. The Bible says, you know. How about you? Could you do something like that? As long as you got your crowd, you're okay. And I'm for going out preaching together as a group. But what about if the Holy Spirit told you, go out there and preach a little bit on the street by yourself? Would you do it? Are you committed? Are you contending? Are you just giving in like so many others? Sin number four, sound faith. Look at verse number 2, Titus 2, verse 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. We need to have sound faith. We need to have a childlike faith. That's what the Bible says. We need to have a childlike faith. A child will believe anything you tell them. If I tell my boys that I hung the moon, you know what they think? They think Daddy put the moon up there. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them God hung the moon. And God made that grass. God made that snow. God made you and God made me. So you're going to brainwash them. I'm going to brainwash them. But I got Bible to back up what I'm saying. I'm going to teach them from a young age that it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about the blood that He shed. I'm going to teach them those things, and I hope that they'll have faith in what mommy and daddy teach them. But we need to have a faith in God, just like a child has in their mom and daddy. Because God is our Father, and He's the best Father you can have. And we can trust Him. Even when things are a little shaky, when we're going through maybe a valley or a storm, and we're saying, God, what's going on? You can trust Him. You can trust Him. A confident faith. Luke 22:32 said, but I, talking about Peter, he said, Satan had desired to sift thee as wheat, but he said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Let me say, if we got God praying for us, if we got Jesus Christ, the Son of God, interceding for us, praying for us, we got a pretty good deal. We're going to be okay. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, interceding to the Father on our behalf. I think it's going to be okay. It may not always be perfect. It may not always be just what we want it to be, but He's going to carry us through. Even in these dark days, amen, looking at the leadership going on, looking at things going on in our country, and it looks scary with the economy and everything, God is still in control. He knows what's going on. Brother Eric, he ain't up there going, man, what am I going to do about this recession? The economy's falling apart. What are we going to do? No, He knows what's going on. He's aware. And I'm going to tell you something. There may be a little bit of suffering that may have to go on here and there, but He is going to take care of His people. Yes, sound faith. And then last of all, we need to have sound speech. Same chapter, verse number 8. He's going down through a list of here of things that we need to have. And says sound speech. He's actually talking about preachers here, but this is good. Hey, what's good for the preacher is good for the congregation. Amen. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech. We need some more of that. We love to run our mouths. And I'm preacher's guilty. I'm guilty right here. We love to run our mouths when we ain't got no business. I had to call somebody back the other day. Just got off the phone with a guy. I had to call him back and say, I'm sorry. He said, what for? I said, I told you something about that guy I shouldn't have said. He said, was it true? I was like, yeah, it was true. He said, but it still wasn't right for me to tell you. It didn't benefit you any. And I should have kept my mouth shut. You say, what was that? Wasn't using my speech in the right way. How many times during the day, whether at work or around your family or even around church, do we say things that we know God ain't pleased with? Well, it's the truth. I'm just speaking the truth. Why don't you keep your mouth shut sometimes if it ain't going to do something good for somebody else? What we do is we gossip and then we say, well, I'm just telling the truth. We got a lady in our church, I'm talking, causes more problems than anybody. And every church has one. I'm sure this one does too. But anytime somebody says something to her about it, she says, well, you know me, I just speak my mind. It's like, well, shut up. Quit speaking your mind. Oh, I should have told the kids to plug their ears right there. My wife would get on to me right now. But she ain't here. Sound speech. How about having speech with care? Being careful about what we say. Being careful about the things we talk about with other people. And with charity. You know, I think if we'll talk more with an attitude of charity, there'll be a lot less gossip. There'll be a lot less hurtful things said. I think that churches as a whole would be a whole lot better if Christians would think about what they're going to say, and then if they still feel like it's the will of God to say it with the right spirit and a right heart and a right attitude. I heard Danny Farley, old preacher, make this statement one time. I think Brother Jack Wood actually said it. He said, if you're sitting there just feeling you're dying to say something, and you're just waiting for somebody to quit talking because you're dying to say something, he said, that's probably the thing that don't need to be said. He said, but if you're sitting there, boy, I don't want to say that. No, I don't need to say that. No, they don't need to hear. That's probably what you need to say. Because as a whole, we like to say what we want to say. And we don't want to say what we do need to say. And sadly, that's where a lot of preachers are too. They want to say what everybody wants to hear, not what they need to hear. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I don't want to be just a tinkling cymbal. I don't want to be just a preacher that gets in the pulpit and is like, ding, 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 ding. I want to be more than that. But I'm not going to be that if I'm out getting a bad reputation about how I run my mouth. And you're not either. You know, people are just going to look at you and say, don't talk to them. They'll just go tell somebody else. Don't share your burden. We're to bear our burden. We're to bear one another's burdens and help each other. But nobody's going to come to you like that if they know you're just going to run off and run your mouth. That's a lot to that little word sound, ain't it? It is a whole lot more than just the sound of an instrument or the sound of a voice. The sound of toys playing when kids are playing in the playroom. It's something that us adults need to get a hold of and pass it on to young people. We need something that's founded in truth. Something that's valid, something that's firm. Sound. So let's take that word and go do something with it. Put it to practice, amen? Lord, we thank you for the morning. Pray that you'll bless us as we go into the worship hour. Lord, help us just to lift up you and Lord, just sing unto you. And Lord, to give you glory this morning. You're so worthy. And God, we thank you for how blessed we are, how good you've been to us. Lord, you're a good God. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.